Hello. Joan, you're muted if you're trying to say anything to introduce.
I do.
Okay, thanks.
Everybody hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Well, welcome to our November Gridmaster gathering. Like I say, Joan mentioned, it's really a neat occasion to have this weekend. And just to pick out one of our stars, Charlotte Soto has offered to facilitate our program today, and we're very appreciative of her and look forward to it. And before we get started, Joan has a couple announcements just on future scheduling.
Okay, we're almost closing out our year. I can't believe it. Anyway, I wanted to give you kind of a schedule of what's we have scheduled before the end of the year. The next Gridmaster call will be on Sunday, December the 12th. And Kathleen McGarry and Kimberly will be the facilitators. We are also going to have a solstice gathering. And since we've been meeting on Sunday, I thought it was appropriate that we, and this is will be our last meeting of the year, that we have it on Sunday also. And that will be on December the 19th. And of course, the summer solstice, depending on where you are, is on the 20th and 21st. So we're right in that energies, and we will be continuing what we started last year in 2020 under the direction of Lord Metatron to activate a fifth dimensional sequence of the cube configuration. So we will be bringing in the next step of that and transmitting it to the earth and to humanity. So this will be a big conclusion to our seating of the divine Gridmaster call, as well as it won't be a conclusion because I really feel like this project of changing the cube's dynamics and the energetics, bringing it up to fifth, sixth, and seventh dimension, will continue as those of us who are moving into the next 3 year sequence of teaching. So, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Charlotte.
Hello.
Hello.
Finished my note there. Okay. To start today, we are going to do a number of things. Back to my page, I flipped over. First, I want to talk about, I know there's four things we're going to cover. So I got to watch my clock. I was going to talk to you about the dragons I've been working with. Crystals, their direction and keys. I'm going to give you your color and sound codes, and then we're going to do an application using the crystals, the color and sound codes on the fifth dimensional grid so we can unlock, activate, and transmit the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional templates. So, busy day. Dragons. Some of you have seen the picture of the dragon that I put out there that I've been flying since September. That got me started on this little adventure. It started out as a Halloween thing, just to go ahead and put up a Halloween decoration, and it's a 12-foot blow up black dragon. Well, then I went to the, dragon cards from, Dana Cooper, her dragon cards. Some of you may have the book. And so I pulled all the black dragon cards out. So we pulled out Thor, the black dragon, and gold dragon. If I find the camera, we might be able to see him. probably should go on a bigger screen. That might be easier then, if you put me on this speaker. And then that particular dragon helps protect you in times of change. And this is a time of rapid transition and transformation. It helps you to relax and be safe. So working with that dragon was interesting. Then I pulled the black, called just the black dragon. The black dragon will cocoon you in your divine potential growth. And it helps to, in your meditation and reflection, and to undergo the metamorphosis that has to occur. And that little dragon, where's my camera? Shows his tail wrapping you up in a little cocoon. Then I went to the black dragon from Saturn that brings in your wisdom through spiritual discipline. So as we work with our all of what we're learning, if you concentrate and focus on your ultimate vision, which is what we've been focusing on, and it says, congratulate yourself, you have passed a test. So the black dragon, okay, where'd he go? Black dragon from Saturn. Then when I looked in the book, there was one more black dragon that wasn't in the deck of cards, and it was the black, silver, and white dragon from Pluto, which helped with personal transformation, healing family patterns, enabling us to get ready for new beginnings. And then the last one, which kind of, when I pulled this one and started reading about the alpha dragon, this was the one that you pull it and you read about it, and then you kind of pause and say, do I really going to call this one in? This one is the harnesses the divine masculine power of creation. This is Metatron's dragon. And so it's like, I'm sitting there the day I looked at this and said, well, if I'm not going to call him in, who is? So I said, all right. So these are the dragons that I have been playing with since about mid-September, because we do Halloween up at my campsite in September. And so every night I would blow up the big black dragon and let it fly and put these dragons out to work. Now, when, there's one more thing I wanted to say about dragons. I don't know how other people request dragon help. I've been doing it for quite a while. So when I want to call in a dragon or ask dragons to help me on a project, I just go into my I Am and simply request assistance from the dragon kingdom. And then we'll come forth as one of the white dragons. It's almost like you're sitting in a, I feel like what shows up is if you were in a reception's office where the, you know, you go in and you step in and you ask the person, and it's a white dragon. And then I will request usually what I want the project for. So if I want them to clear something, because I've sent them out to clear the schools and to clear, you know, different things, then I will let them bring forth the dragons that they think should work on that project. If I'm asking to work with specific dragon, then I will ask for that specific dragon. But most of the time I let them send whoever it is that they feel are the right dragons from the right dimensions, and to, you know, just instate my intent of what I want assistance for. The biggest part, and I know that's one of my things that I'm learning, I don't ask for assistance very often. I've learned just to, you know, fly solo. So here we have these absolutely opportunities, and they can't step in without us asking. So I can ask dragons to clear things for me and some of the other things, but I can't send them to do yours. So you have to ask if you want, you know, personal help or something cleared or your property protected or, you know, something going on. I can only do general when it comes to other people's space. Otherwise, we're infringing on other people's free will and stuff like that. So that's the piece on the dragons. Have fun looking them up. There's a lot more to that, but I just wanted to tell you one of the ones. So that gives you a little different meaning to my little thing that I posted that said the black dragons are flying. We had a whole bunch of them out there and working with us on a regular basis. Okay, next piece, crystals. I asked everybody to get three crystals. What I want to talk to you about is directional flow. I wish there was a better way of putting these up where you can see them, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. Take your three crystals and put them in a triangular form. Now, if you paste the bottom crystal and point the point of it to the left, put the next crystal's base at that point. And then from that point, you put the base so the other one's pointed downward. You can see how you get a left directional flow. It'll be counterclockwise. If you take and change the bottom crystal of the triangle, point it the other way, and then turn each one. So again, so that the point goes to the base, the point goes to the base, then you can see how all of a sudden it's flowing the other way. These are some of your, when you're laying out grids or whatever, if you take, doesn't matter which way the base crystal of the triangle is, but if you put the two are pointing upward, you'll see that if it's pointed to the right, it'll go to that crystal, putting its base energy into the crystal to the right, and then the other one backs it up and it goes outward, upward. If you turn the base crystal the other way, then the point of that one supports the crystal to the left, and then you have then its strength in going that way. If you stick all of their bases together with them, all their points sticking out, you have a spray in three directional. Sometimes if you want to enhance something, you can also set a crystal in the center of that, of a different type or a different one. You know, here I got a citrine, we'll stick that in there. And then that would add to the spray in the three directions, whatever you put the center crystal at the base of all of them. And the same thing, if you turn all their points in, and I've done that many times I'll take, and I don't think I got it right around here, I'll take a quartz crystal that's shaped like a heart and then let all of it flow into the heart and then broadcast out. And again, you can have heart-shaped crystals of many different types of stones. It doesn't just have to be quartz on that one. So, okay, we've got ins, we've got outs.
Is there any way you can show us, Charlotte?
I don't know. All I'm seeing is this little bitty square of me, so.
I can't visualize it.
Okay. What I can do is take some pictures.
Yeah, Charlotte, you could also just draw a simple picture on a piece of paper. Uh-huh. and put show that on the screen the way you did your dragon cards.
You know, in that way. Okay, let me try that one quick. Here's my little piece of paper. Grab one here. Okay. Okay. I'm going to use arrows as points. Can we find this? See how the...
That's perfect.
Okay. See how it flows to this point, to this point, to this point? You get the flow going in that direction. If you reverse it, if you reverse it, let's find it here, then you've got it flowing the opposite, you know, direction. If you have the two points pointed upward, it'll go one direction depending upon how you put the bottom crystal. If you point it this way, it'll go that way around. If you flip it, it'll go the other way around.
Charlotte, can you explain the different benefits of going clockwise versus counterclockwise? What would be the application, or are you going to get to that?
Well, no, because we're not going to have a whole lot of time, but generally you're spiraling upward or spiraling downward. Some grids flow in a counterclockwise spin, some flow in a clockwise spin. I don't know if people are real sensitive to that. I'm very sensitive. I run a very strong counterclockwise spin to a point that I screw light bulbs out of light sockets. So it's the flow of the energy, just even like a plant. If you've ever watched a plant grow and it grows in a certain direction, if it's a climber, everything grows in spirals. Water flows in a certain direction. I think that's probably, you know, how you watch water go down a drain. There's a certain spiral to it. That's the same thing with the crystals. And what your layouts are, what are you trying to transmit? Because sometimes we lay out some things and we're not transmitting. We are, I want to say locking it in.
Maybe after this, if you could post some pictures, just because 2D is a little different than 3D, you know.
Right.
So that would be helpful.
Yeah, I can take some snapshots of the different ones that I've laid out. Okay.
Great.
Keys. How do you recognize a key crystal? This maybe I can put up there and you can see him. When you a key crystal always has an indent where you can put your finger. Let me find one that's really blatantly obvious. This one's got a real blatantly obvious groove right here that you can put your finger in. And depending upon how it fits, it'll be whether or not it's a left-handed or a right-handed crystal. And the only way you can test that is to see which way feels more comfortable when you get your finger on the groove. This particular one is a definite, can be used both ways because it has a finger hold right in here for that finger, and it has a thumb hold there. So this makes a really easy right-hand crystal, but because of the way it's positioned, I can also turn around and use it left-handed. Now, as we progress, or at some point in time, I saw a vision where we all worked with key crystals together as a group. I've been gathering keys right now just around me. I gathered 34 or more key crystals. They come in all shapes and forms. Here's a citrine. It has a groove line right through here where you can put your thumb. And it makes it really easy to use as a key. I've got two really.
Charlotte, when you're showing us crystals, it would be helpful if you held them still for about 3 seconds because okay. there's a blur.
Okay. This one has a really good groove point right there. This is an amethyst key. So they can come in amethyst, they can come in, you know, different kinds. This particular one could be either left-handed or right-handed because it has a groove both on the back side here for left-handed, and then you can flip it, and there's one on this side if you want to use it right-handed. So when you start looking at some of your crystals, you may have some, you may not have some. They come in all sizes. Here's a little bent one. Where are you? He's a little Benke. I have a bunch of other Benkes, but because everything's packed up around my house for construction, I haven't found them yet. They were put away for safekeeping, and now I don't know where they are. They will surface. They can be teeny, tiny, tiny little ones, too. They'll still be key crystals.
Charlotte?
Yes.
Do they have to be points? Because like my Anchi crystal has a thumb
groove. Do not have to be points, no. It's the fact that they have a thumb hold so that you can insert it and turn it as a key. This one's got a marker right here. It's a very long pointed one. Somewhere down the line, I have already used them. These are for turning on grids. Or turning on, just like we unlocked things when we were unlocking our time things. As we progress, we will be turning and unlocking using keys. Because each one of us is different, and when you use your color and sound codes, the presence and essence of who you are, if I use this key, I would be unlocking one thing. If I pass the key to you, with what your codes are, you would unlock something else. And I've already seen in a vision, it may not be for till our next conference or something, where we actually take keys and pass them around in a circle so that we can unlock a whole thing. And those are very intricate locks that are designed, just like we have been working together on these time locks and things. This cannot be done by one person. This is a collective project when it comes to unlocking some of these grids and energy fields that have been put under codes. Because I know I wrote the codes. Some of the big crystals, I know I powered down and locked up. But knowing that it would take a collective of people holding a certain frequency of the energy of love to even consider unlocking some of them or letting some of it come through.
You know, I know we're all crystal fans, but I don't know if you noticed recently, it was just in our newspaper, there was a 8-foot by 10-foot solid crystal that was donated to the Smithsonian, and guess where it came from? Right here in our own backyard. And it was spectacular. It, you know, black and white doesn't do anything justice, but this was the biggest thing I've ever seen. And some millionaires bought it, I guess, and donated it. But if you're ever in Washington, yeah, it's time to take a look at it, because I just had a feeling when I saw it, it's meant for a lot of people. Sorry.
Oh, go right ahead. That's exactly what we're talking about. Because we have with our group, and I know with me, even before I got involved with this group, I was with the Earth Keepers in activating some of the bigger, you know, the bigger crystals around the world. This is what we're doing. We're helping turn this whole grid back on. And yeah. And so it's getting to know some of this and when you're directed to use these.
There's lots more that big and even bigger, John, in that area. And I am very drawn to go find them.
Oh, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, and Coleman's have a lot. If any of us took the trip down into the mine on that old army truck, you could see some of them. But the problem is it getting it out in one piece. And but there are a lot, and they're spectacular, you know.
And they're not all meant to be taken out. Many of them are meant to stay stay deep in the earth to do their job, yeah.
I think you're right, yes.
Yeah. Well, like some of you might have been in on with this one. This is the key crystal that I had at one of the MA conferences that was in Atlanta. And a group of us went and activated the crystal that's under the Stone Mountain there in Atlanta. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because it was Mary Beth and Richard out of England that said they needed to go and activate something over there. And they were looking for me because they didn't know how to find the point how to figure out where to place the crystal.
Oh, okay.
When you're putting the crystal actually into the earth to turn the key. And so they were looking for me, and I had found this one at a conference in Columbus, Ohio. I had gone to one of the light conferences there. And of course I'm cruising around looking, and the person doesn't even know what they have. And I says, tell me the history about this one. And he says, oh, well, they were going to build a new hotel, and they were digging out stuff and dumping this stuff over. And a friend of mine asked him if he could pick up some of the rocks. And they said, oh, sure, take what you want. So he brought these into him, because he knew his friend was into rocks. And then he brought them up to the conference. And I had picked it up knowing, I was going to Atlanta. I didn't know when I was going to use it for, but I was going to take it along and hear Mary Beth and Richard say, well, we have to go do this. We already got to rent a car and we'll go. And I says, well, I've got the key. Uh-huh. And then showed them how to zone in on where you're supposed to place the key, and then how to turn it, and whether or not you have to leave it or not. A lot of my crystal grids, when I work with them and leave them around the world, they stay. They are inserted in the lock and they do not come back out.
Right.
Some of them you take home. So it's, and again, knowing which ones you need to, to do what with, mm-hmm. which will be all part of some of the future work we do.
Those are great. Thank you, Charlotte.
Okay. I'm staying on time. Good, good, good. Okay. So that's the keys, and that's the direction of stones when you're doing layouts. I think as you start to feel the energy of your layouts, you'll understand more what they're producing for you. And you can do them with lots of crystals. I mean, some of my layouts have 20, 30 crystals in them. But just using that simple triangle gets you to understand the flow. And it's the same thing if you put a whole bunch of them together too. All right, now to color codes. Okay. Everybody got their piece of paper? I'm going to do this the simple and easy way. Okay. I think I sent the chart over so that they can print it out and have it on a, something for you. But for us working today, about the middle of the page, write the letters and space them out from A to G. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Seven letters. Now on the line below it, you start with the rest. You go with H, I, J, K, L, M, N. And go back again under H, go with O, P, Q, R, S, T, U. And then back again, you go V, W, X, Y, and Z. That's putting your alphabet in four rows, which is four different octaves when you start working with the sound of it. And so now across the top, and it's easier to start at C. C over the C, we'll like write red. Over the D, orange. Over the E, yellow. Over the F, green. Over the blue, over the G, blue. And go back over to the A, do indigo, and B is violet. That's your color of the rainbow.
Charlotte, would you please repeat those colors again?
Okay. It's easier to do them in the order of the rainbow. So go to C, that's red. D is orange. E is yellow. F is green. G is blue. Back over to A for indigo and B for violet. My brain goes in the order of what we memorized the alphabet. The rainbow.
Charlotte?
Yeah.
What does your rows of letters look like?
Let me see. Let me get the one that's easiest to read here. All right. I'm going to put John. Okay, I had you here. That's my name. I don't know if you can see off of this one as well as I had it printed out better. So if I read them down, you know. And I put the other one.
Oh, so just the alphabet is four rows of horizontal.
Right.
Right. Of the alphabet. And then we're writing the colors above them.
Correct.
Okay.
So do some of the letters not have colors?
Yes, they all have colors.
Oh.
So in other words, if I read them down, under A should be A, H, O, and V. Those are all indigo. The first column.
Oh.
Second column would be B, I, P, and W under violet. Red will have C, J, Q, and X. Orange will have D, K, R, and Y. The yellow will have E, L, S, and Z. The green has F, M, and T. And the blue is G, N, and U.
I got to start all over again.
Okay.
What was the F?
What did I do with the printed out one of this? I don't know. Me getting ready for this was like a great adventure. Well, I've got a few other things that I, you know, yeah. I have my harp out here so I can show you what it sounds like on a harp. I have my keyboard out here for the keyboard, all the crystals. And then I have a 1111 Stargate wheel that we're going to work with in our, I turned off the projector. It made too much noise. Okay, does everybody got that kind of written down?
Mm-hmm. Charlotte sent me one that I'll make a PDF out of it, and I will have our webmaster post it when he posts the recordings. So you will have access to that to download it.
Could we also get the dragons too?
She didn't send me those.
But I could. Well, I just didn't know who had the dragon book already had these because they're out of, you know, her dragon book, you know, as far as
where were the other dragons? You mentioned the ones out of the book and then you had more. What were the other ones out of?
No, there was one that was in the book that wasn't in the cards.
Oh.
There's so many that were in the cards, but there was one more black dragon in the book that she doesn't have a card for.
Okay,
not all of them in the book are in the deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just those little things that I, you know, I notice. Okay. Now I'm going to give you the sound codes. And the easiest way is to, again, write down the colors of the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Then by the red, you write down C. The orange, you write down D. Yellow is E. Green is F. Blue is G. Indigo is A, and violet is B. Now, if you want to go to the sound, go back to the red and write, you know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. So do for red, do, ra for orange, mi for yellow, fa for green, So for blue, La for indigo, and T for violet. So while you guys are now, write your name down in spacing your letters. And then I usually write the color codes below it and the sound codes above it. While you do that,
are you saying write our name in
your
the
first name
in the alphabet?
No, write your first name down. Spell it out.
Okay.
Then below it, go up to the chart. Like with mine, I go C is red, so I write red under C, and then my H is over there in the, where's H? H is under indigo. My A is another indigo. So go find yours. Your R is orange. My R is orange. So you just go through the chart and find your spelling of your name. Write the color.
Mine's all messed up.
Well, try again.
I'm done.
Some people write it down vertically, some write it across. Our brains, train for the left to right reading. So in the meantime, get time. The longer your name, the more letters you got to come up with. Mine's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 letters. You think I have the whole rainbow, but I don't.
Does it matter if it's your real name or your...
You want to use your full name, not your shorted name.
Your first name?
If your name is Barbara, you want to use Barbara, not Barb. Okay. You want to use your full first name.
And even if you only go by your nickname and never by your real name,
you still want to use your full first name. That's okay. Your essence print.
Okay.
What you go by is what you allow people to see. You don't always share all of who you are. My name is Charlotte, pronounced Charlotte my whole life, called Char most of my life as a kid. They only use the first 3 letters. They forgot the rest of a lot of me. They didn't want to deal with it all.
Yeah.
Well, I made them, once I did a whole class on the powers of letters in your name. And once I found out that the word in my name was not let, L-E-T, it was lot, I realized I was letting everybody use my energy and I was not claiming my lot in life. So I was an adult when I made my family change the pronunciation of my name. And that's why I make people use my full name. Because if you get Char, you only get the masculine aspect of my name.
Yeah.
I was always a tomboy. In fact, my nickname was Chuck.
Oh.
I always hung with the boys. And and because I was so muscular, I was because of that, I was the practice person for the one of the guys that was on the wrestling team, just because I could. So after you've got your letter, your colors down, then above it, write down the letters that correspond with your sound. And so that you can get an idea what this is like. I mean, you can always sing your name, like mine is do la la re me la fa fa mi. So you can always sing your name. Not that you can, I sing very well, but because I've been working with sound and color stuff like this and words and names. I pulled out my keyboard that I've used for years, and on it, see if you'll light up here. Oh, yeah, there you are. You're on. Okay. I'll play you my name just so you get an idea. I don't know if you could hear that because it's.
Yep.
Huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Huh?
Yes.
You could. Okay. Now that is on a piano. That's on a keyboard. I literally took a keyboard, put the whole alphabet across it, starting with C on middle C, and then you can play anything. So you could play, oh, maybe we want to play. Play happy. Maybe we want to do love. And light. People say, what are you doing? I'm always playing around. But I also have it on my harp. Now, with my harp, and this is the difference in sound. Also, when I play it on a keyboard like that, I can play all the octaves. So my T's are over here, you know, in a higher octave. If you only have seven, you know, playing in one chord, then it has a different sound to it because you'd have to play all the letters within that chord. The same thing on the harp. The difference between a piano and that in a harp is the difference between nodal and chordal. If you're playing on a piano, you play the note. When you play a certain chord on the harp, it also vibrates all the other chord, that same note in all the other octaves. So if I pull middle C, it'll make everything all the way up to the high C ring. So it has a fuller sound. So if I play my name on the harp, it has a totally different, fuller sound. And if I would just take the and play in one octave, it would have a different sound. So this is the way we create when we talk about carrier sound and sound waves and why some are fuller than others. We need to tune this thing. It's not tuned.
Also.
But it's still fun to play with. That's what I say I got. And then you start to see how people resonate when you have matching letters, and also how other people enhance your life who carry letter and sound codes that you don't have. You'll be drawn, you need the whole rainbow. You'll be drawn the people of the ones that are missing. But yet you will at least have one incompatible in order to make a connection.
Should we do our last names too, or just, or in our middle names, or just our first name?
I, most of the time when you're presenting for what we're doing, it's just first name, but it's interesting to do it all and to do like I did my maiden name versus my married name. What letters you add, what letters you drop, you know, because this is your first name's your essence print. Your middle name is usually heritage that has been given you. Like I carry my grandmother's Esther for my middle name. And then you have your father's genealogy, your mother's genealogy. Now, in most American names, they don't put the two names together. In some countries, that's why and I'll use Latin, Mexico for it. That's why, you know, in Mexico, it's always, my name would be Charlotte D, and then you have your father's last name and then your mother's last name. Like for my husband, his name was Soto Roman, the two names, because the D meant of. So this was Daniel D of Soto and Roman. And that's how some countries use the double names of both the mother and the father. The U.S., we drop the mother. We only keep the father's last name. And so that's always interesting to you look at some, you know, some of that, especially when you see what codes you're bringing through your heritage of the names. But like I say, I would get into that in my class on the powers of letters in your name, but then also the meaning and personality characteristics of each letter, and sometimes the history behind the name. Too much for this. We have other things to do. Can't get into that. All of that. Okay.
How would this be affected? If somebody was adopted and they didn't know their true lineage because their last name is not their bloodline, actually?
Well, then if you have lost that track of that, it wasn't meant for you to carry it forward.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Also, where was your grandmother's name? Is that the second one?
In my languaging of how I was named, yes, my middle name is from my grandmother. That's not always a truth, right, in naming. You know, I just know that's where mine came from.
Okay, would that be the order it was in? It would be your essence print, and then your grandparent, and then right, your father, and then your mother.
That's the way mine reads. Yes, that is not a truth for everyone, because sometimes you didn't get a middle name that was tied to a previous relative.
What if it's a different relative?
It doesn't matter. It's okay. Just it would be their. You're carrying some of their codings.
This is George.
Intentionally.
Okay.
You know, if you met my grandmother, you'll see I carry a lot of her codings. Yeah, it's interesting to, you know, see some of, you know, as you get older, you notice some things more than you did when you were younger on that kind of stuff. Okay. Now I need to shift here. So you've got your color, you've got your sound codes, you've got your crystal you want to play with. Now we're going to go use this stuff. Can you see? Let's see if I can get this in here. Get me out. Can you see the 1111?
Move it back. Move it back the other way, direction a little bit.
This way.
Towards you. The other way.
Okay. I'm sitting off to the side, so I don't know what's towards me.
Yeah, there you go. That's getting closer.
Center of it in here. Sure, how much of that you all can see. This is a drawing of a 1111 Stargate. These are called star wheels. This artist, I've got this one back about 94. The artist is called Yahweh. If you Google star wheels, you'll find these. He's made many of them. These are templates. This one, like I say, I got somewhere around 94. And here we are at the 1111. This gives a people an idea what some of these sound and templates, and when we talk about templates, what they look like. And at least you can see the center of it. Okay. This 1111 piece is huge. it's been progressively through the years, we've been activating and moving more through this with the Stargate. Through this Stargate, stuff has been coming in. The fact that we did the 1111 in 11 of the Christed matrix being brought through, and more of activating it. The one that we're able to step through now is we are able to step through this gate into the fifth dimension and activate the fifth dimensional grid. So that's what I'm going to have us do. So take your crystal. Take your color and sound codes. And what I'm going to do, so that we can give everybody time to, when I step through these into the fifth dimensional, usually the vision that I see is a big open space, like a big, beautiful park, kind of grassy and things and stones that you can sit on. So you can walk through, make yourself comfortable. While we're doing that, I am going to use the tuning fork. That's the 432, which has to do with the frequency and the energy of love. So go ahead, take your crystal with you, your sound codes, and go get comfortable in the fifth dimension. Now that everybody has stepped through the 1111 gate, you found your place to be comfortable. Put your crystal in whatever hand that you prefer to work with. And then if you're used to sending your energy through a crystal, you just send your color codes and your sound codes. You power up your crystal. If you're not used to, you can read off each color. You can read off each sound. You can feel your crystal get warm. If you're a seer, you'll see the color and codes in the crystal. If you have a key crystal, then lots of times the lock for me will show itself. So I can just plug into it. If you're not holding a key crystal, just plug your crystal, connect it to the grid. Remember, because since we're in fifth dimension, we can do this etherically. We don't have to necessarily put it into the earth, into the ground. So as you have connected to the grid, then transmit. Well, if you have a key crystal, go ahead and turn it whichever way you feel is correct. Just because you have a left-handed crystal, you can turn it right or you can turn it left. Then you transmit your love and light, your color sounds. Take some breaths, allow that to transmit. As you connect it, now we're going to transmit the fifth dimensional light template from the center of your sacred heart through the crystal to the grid. Take some breaths. At least 3 to 6. Then we're going to transmit the sixth dimensional light template from your sacred heart center. Through your heart, through your crystal, onto the grid. Breathe. I'm going to transmit the seventh light template from your sacred heart. Crystal and breathe. Everybody transmits at a different speed. So when you feel completed and having transmitted the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh dimensional template, again, transmit your love and light and your sound codes. this is huge. Because we are doing this all over the world, we are creating a much stable platform. Fifth dimensional grid. So everyone can. Continue to move into this fifth dimensional grid.
Charlotte's muted.
Where did I lose you?
Only for a few seconds.
Okay. So we got everything transmuted or transmitted. Yeah, I was going to transmute a lot of things too. What I was saying is when everybody has completed, I want to thank you all. And you do not need to leave this space. This is the space that most of you have been working from already. Holding that fifth dimensional space, even though you're engaging in the outer world. You don't have to drop your frequency or your perspective of where you're functioning from because everybody else is not there yet. So enjoy working from this space. Enjoy playing around with your color and sound codes, everybody else's color and sound codes. Color and sound codes, all kinds of words. And I don't know if Joan has anything else to say or otherwise.
Oh. Well, I just think this.
Coming on time.
I think it just adds so much to this process. By using our personal colors and notes, it adds that sound template, which we know from studying the different creative rays that sound enhances all creation.
And we've been using it all along because that's your essence print, but now you're conscious of it.
Yes.
And then you can use it to a better degree and, you know, kind of enhance it because you can put your intentional attention on it.
I think it helps all because in our conference, we were asked to receive color code. And we were asked to receive our sound code. And a lot of us didn't, you know, it doesn't, sound codes travel in the ethers. It doesn't necessarily mean that our human ear hears it. But from what you've presented, Charlotte, it gives more meaning to what your personal sound code is. So when you're transmitting these templates and holding those in your body, as you walk the earth, you make a huge difference.
Another one, and I don't think I know where mine is right now. If you take a Tibetan singing bowl, yes, the metal, you know, and hold it in your hand and spin it, you can actually hear your actual code. And I used to pass it around in the class so other people could, everybody thought it was all the same. And it's like, uh-uh, as soon as you touch that bowl, then your sound code's going to pull in. And sometimes I'd have to spin for a while to bring mine in because it, when I was so far out in order to you know, to hear that.
Yes.
I realized that, you know, the person that made my harp for me intentionally made one because I had a smaller one, but it didn't have enough keys. He made this harp in 98. So I've been playing sound codes since back in the 90s. And the same thing with the templates. It's just part of who we are. And I haven't shared a lot of it because I didn't have people to share it with. I just went ahead and did it.
Great.
Working with, you know, the 3M company, as I call them, Metatron, Melchizedek, Michael, and
the gang.
Yeah. But I mean, to go off and pick crystals and put them into grids and turn the grids on, this is something I have been doing long before I met anybody else. It was nice to find other people, and these next phases have to be done as a collective.
Absolutely right.
Charlotte, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So if you know your kind of your soul name, and you know, we got our colors, our soul color, so to speak, how does that relate to this exactly? Do you have any feel for that?
Well, if you would write that out, you can see what you are bringing through. Many times, and we're not bringing all of who we are through. What you're using for your name right now is what you are bringing through. This is what you are presenting on the planet at this point under this name. Remember, we've been here around before and we've had different names.
Right.
And so, but use what you came here with. It's kind of like we're an orchestra. And that's why if you're the violin, be the violin. If you're the trombone, be the trombone. If you're the drum, be the drum. But when we get together as a collective in our group, we are like an orchestra. And it is that sound that we create as a collective that opens some of this stuff that we could not do individually.
No.
We can only add our piece.
We could not open those time locks individually.
No.
It had to be done as a group.
And it's like, you know, don't try to be somebody else. Don't downplay yours. Be who you are. That is so important. And we all carry, I call it triangle of wisdom. You carry what you're educated in, you carry what you've had experience in, and then you carry the wisdom of your soul and your intuitive knowingness, which in our group is expanding greatly because we're starting to connect to more and more of that and trying to figure out how to use it and where can we apply it. And so some of this stuff that I have been playing with for years, everybody studies things in different, it's like going to college. You don't take the courses in the same order, and it doesn't matter. It's what do we need now between us so we can achieve what our next piece is.
So Charlotte, I think what I heard Randy asking was, if you know what your soul name is by letters, is that appropriate, or is it different to bring that in versus the name that we were born with? Like, I am Kelly, that's who I was born with. I don't know what my soul name is, but Randy alluded that he knew his, and I'm assuming those would be different letters, a different vibration. Just equally important to work with both?
Yes. Most of the time, our birth name we have now is what we came in willing to present to humanity. You're a whole lot more than what that is. And we all know we're a whole lot more than what we're often have presented to this point. And so,
yes, thank you.
We stand in all of who we are. that's a much bigger print. Sometimes we're not ready to handle it. And, you know, the old saying is, you know, let them see your light, but don't blind them. And so it's the same thing with some of this. You know, sometimes I do how much energy I'm well aware of how it affects people around me. I still remember one of the times, and it was a 4th of July thing, and we're all, you know, sitting on blankets wanting to watch the fireworks, and, you know, it gets dark, and I command this energy field around me, and I know I do. And so afterwards, you know, they turn the lights on so we can all leave, or people start putting their flashlights on, and we realized I had held an energy field. Everybody had not stepped past my little line. They're all a little like I'm on the edges because that's the field print I had put out. And I'm well aware of me doing stuff like that. And people just back up because my field is that strong. But so is all of ours, just different. And there's so much more in the sound and colors of the letters, and when you start to understand some of the even the color line of your wherever your first letter is, makes a difference as to, you know, some of the people who are in the back row of the letters for their first ones will have a tendency to want to step back and be in the peripheral. I'm a red, I'm up front, and, you know, I always will be. I'm in the, that's why I have to do is look at some of the leaders, look at the red colors, look at the letters, all the J's, all the C's. They're always the ones that'll step up as the leaders. We came in with that lead color. It isn't by accident. It's just who we are.
Well, thank you, Charlotte. You have added to our understanding tremendously. And I think as we move forward, those of us who come together in January will each be stepping up and sharing what we bring to the party, because equally, we are all important as we gather in a
year. Oh, yeah. Your soul has had experiences, mine hasn't. So everybody has. And even just taking this lifetime, we've all, you know, and how you, I want to say, respond to or have gone around difficulties. You know, everybody approaches things differently. You know, I know I'm the bulldozer, the tank. I will just go right through.
Yes, thanks.
Well, told that more than once. But that's why they always give me lead.
Exactly.
Clear the path. Okay, we're going.
All right. Well, I think we should close our session. We're running a little over, but it has been a tremendous help to all of us. Thank you, Charlotte.
You're welcome.
And
thank you, Charlotte.
If you want more or have any questions, go ahead and contact me.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte. This was amazing.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.